Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Paul Lisnick Behind the Curtain, my opportunity to step away from the world of politics and law that you watch me cover on television every day to come to the world of art, entertainment, today comedy, because isn't this everybody's real passion? Even though one could argue politics is a world of comedy, but let's not go there. So we're going to talk about a fantastic show going on now at Second City, although we're going to be broader than that. But what we're going to talk about, the Victor Wong Fellowship Program at Second City that brings some very talented people to you. And this year, the show is called Youth in Asia, Are You Proud of Me Yet? And let's learn more about it. And so joining us now, the director of the show, but I had to have him because can we all agree that he is everybody's favorite and we love Evan Mills. So Evan, while we still have you in Chicago, because one day you are not going to be taking our calls, I have no idea, but you're going to have some assistant who's going to answer the phone and say, I'm sorry, Mr. Mills does not know who you are. But Evan, thanks for being us. We're going to find out what these folks think of working with you. And Grace Gozzi and Joanna Medrano, thank you for being here. You were both so wonderful in the show that I saw. I have to say, here's the thing. The show only plays Tuesday nights through the month of May. And this is a podcast on radio, so some people will take time to see it. And let's be honest, they're probably going to miss the show because it's a short run. What I want to do is take a broader discussion with you guys about the Victor Wong Fellowship Program, but also about how you do what you do. It's important this month because this is Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage, AAPIH, did I get that right, month. And so we pay tribute to those cultures. So, Evan, I'm going to just start with you because you are the director of the show.
Yeah.
And first of all, you went to school. I'm not going to do your whole bio here, but I know you went to school in Michigan. You grew up in Michigan, actually. But you came here. Was Second City kind of always a dream and a goal for you? And you go from the performing side, which you still do. But I have a feeling your future may be also about writing and directing and such.
Yeah, totally. Actually, it's kind of wild because when I moved to Chicago, I moved here for school to go to Columbia for film and photography. And then truthfully, when I moved here in 2010, I didn't know what Second City was. And so it was not like on the bucket list at the time when I moved here when I was 19. But then I needed a job while I was in college. I saw that a place called Second City was accepting hosting positions. So I applied. I got the job. And then the next day I had my first shift. And that first day on the job is kind of what changed my whole trajectory. Like I was,
when you say hosting, you don't mean show hosting. You meant you're the person we're checking in with at the door.
Yeah, I was the person who I greeted you when you walked in. I walked you to your seat. I asked you, have you been to Second City before? And basically, I was like the kind of the babysitter in the room. I'd watch the people watching the shows to make sure that they were never distracting or never being disruptive or too drunk or too loud. And you know, and our duties were like taking out the trash. Like just all the dirty work that you don't see in the front. And so I did that for almost 3 years.
Wow. Grace, did you know that about him?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Evan is like the Second City, like darling, like he did everything that you kind of like would want from somebody who's like has a success story. He started from the bottom. Now he's here.
Yeah, we won't make this all about Evan, even though he asked me if we could. But, you know, no, you did not. In a recent article, I mean, I'm sure you know this, Evan. I mean, you've been written about as like Colbert, Tina Fey, Evan Mills, the next up. So just fantastic. But let's talk about Grace and Joanna, because if not, they're going to say, why am I here? So Grace, you are also, you're a comedian, you're an improviser. You grew up in Crystal Lake, which is kind of the bastion of comedy.
Yeah.
And by the way, I thought you in particular in this show were absolutely fantastic. Obviously, we don't have the whole cast here and just you, so you will have to speak for a lot of things. I'm not going to give away a lot of stuff from the show. But talk to me. Can I come to you? Actually, talk to me about the Victor Wong Fellowship. So for those who are watching, who might want to take it one day, I have somebody personal in my life who I'd like to do that. Talk about that fellowship and what you need to get into it.
So, this is the second year of the Victor Wong Fellowship. It is a program at Second City that is made to train and mentor AAPI talent and kind of grow their comedic voices. This year there's 10 of us, but the audition process is a little bit of improv, a little bit of planned character stuff. And it's named for Second City's first Asian American performer, Victor Wong. And yeah, this is like the first, pretty sure the only program by like a major comedy theater that is endowing AAPI talent. So we're very thankful, and to be a part of it for the second year is awesome.
Yeah,
I'm
so by the
loving
way,
it.
talking to you is like talking to an I Love Lucy episode, because if you remember the episode where Ricky was performing and the other three were walking behind him with ever-growing plants each way they went. If you haven't seen the episode, Evan, you probably know it, but you wanna share that. It was sort of fun. Anyway,
Yeah, that's on me. I did not warn my roommates that I would be doing this in the living room. So
it's listen, it triggered I Love Lucy in my head. And Joanna, so what do you need to be? There are some people who think that the Victor Wong Fellowship is sort of a master's program. You need to have graduated from after several courses in at Second City. What do you need? Can anybody do it?
I think in general, anybody can and should try improv. Even if you don't want to be on a stage, I feel like there are people who go and do it because it helps with public speaking or dealing with the unknown or therapy or just letting out some steam after like a grueling week of work. And there's so many different paths to comedy, improv being one of them. I think Second City is the most welcoming because their whole idea is anybody can do it. And there are fellows who have gone through the conservatory program. I didn't go through the conservatory program. I just went through their basic 1 year A through E program. But the Second City opening this up to anybody with an AAPI identifying background, with an interest in comedy, who can do characters and who have like some even like theater experience and maybe not improv experience, opening it up to them. It's really nice to see Second City giving performers another avenue to the pipeline, to the stages,
Yeah.
to exposure to any other people who can help them grow their career.
Yeah. And by the way, Joanne, I have to say, I picked, I've got a list of all the skits that you did, and I'm going to go to Evan in a minute about some of the creation that goes on. But I have to tell you, the show opens. I'm not going to give a lot of it away for people that can just see it and enjoy it. But the scene in the Thai restaurant, I speak about six words of every language known to mankind. And or humankind, and in fact, Evan Mastana. And of course, the danger for me is, I know my five words. I use them whenever I speak. I could be Russian; it doesn't matter. Chinese, and then somebody thinks I know what I'm saying, and then very quickly the walls fall in as I'm like, oh no. And just can you talk a little bit, Joanna, about that scene and just how that came about? Because I lost it in the first scene, going, "That's my life. That's me pretending I know language and I don't."
Yeah, so actually Freddie Powers wrote that sketch. He's his mom is Thai. And when he pitched it, we all thought it was hilarious, especially with how he fumbles through this whole experience at a restaurant and all the different obstacles and mental gymnastics you have to go through in order to save face when it comes to that. I feel like I personally experience the opposite because being Filipino, I get mistaken for being Hispanic or Mexican or some part of Latinidad. And so I'll walk into a restaurant and immediately somebody will see my last name and start speaking Spanish. And I'm like, si, aloha, me gusta tacos, por favor, you know? So
Right.
it's interesting to see how relatable all of these experiences are, even if you don't identify as AAPI. You know, like for you, especially since you said that you know a few words of every language, like it's just nice to see that you can come see the show and even though you may not identify as AAPI, you identify with being human and that human experience of being in situations that you're not familiar with and finding the humor in that.
Yeah, by the way, so that the voice, not giving too much away, but the voice we hear, the female voice that we, is that his mom? Is that Freddie's mom?
That is Freddie's mom, yes.
Okay, I love it. And I should, so tell him I said Sawati Klap. And I don't know how to say ceiling fan, but I can say that.
I think
And
it's
to you,
pompadour or something. I think so. Now I also
yeah.
know three words in Thai.
I love it. And to you, magandang umaga.
No, thank you.
So, Evan, talk to me about first of all, directing this thing. How, I mean, is it, do you love the challenge? Is it, as a, are you a better director because you are a performer?
Honestly, I would say yes. I especially in the building too. I think coming off of doing three main stage reviews, performing 6 nights a week, 8 shows a week for almost 3 years, working with a bunch of different directors, a bunch of different performers, getting to see an audience every single day. I think like just all of that experience helped me with giving guidance and direction with the 10 fellows and for this program because yeah like Joanna said it's like if you have the chops and you have the talent to do this you don't have to have the experience in the building. That's our job as the director and the fellowship leaders to instill like the workshops and the knowledge that you would get in a conservatory but condensed into 3 months. So it's our job to make sure that all of that is provided and guided. And when we get into the process, it's my job to lead the group and give my direction in this and I think by being on a stage, I have the eye of also being a performer and also knowing how to direct in that sense. So I tried to make the show very theatrical. I told them like I made them work a lot harder than I think anyone in a fellowship would expect because I want greatness for them and I want greatness for the show. And I think it shows with the talent and the work that they produced, and they made my job harder because they brought in so much good stuff. And you know, it's only a 2-act show. It could have been a 4-act show with all the stuff that we had written. And I wanted to make sure that everyone had a shining moment in the show. And I think that we've accomplished that as a group.
Yeah. And there's so many little subtle things. First of all, so many little references that happen throughout that you pick up or you don't pick up. And for me, I don't know how little this is, but you know, the fact that I'll just give a few things away. The fact you come in and everybody's sort of shoes are off and this whole thing about wearing shoes. We have a scene about that as well. And I have to say, I live that. My partner's Filipino and I come into the house and it's you know, the shoes, they got to come off. It's like, okay. I grew up in the suburbs. I come from a Jewish family. We couldn't sit on the furniture. So I guess if your thing is not wearing shoes, that, you know, that's your own thing. Evan, do people audition or apply or both to get in Victor Wong Fellowship?
It's an audition process. So it's not really like an application that you submit. It's you sign up for a slot, you get a slot, and then on the day of the audition, you come in with your headshot and your resume. We do it usually like 6 to 8 people at a time. And then what the audition process is just a 1-minute solo piece and then some improv. And then based off of that, the larger group that auditioned first gets dwindled down into a callback group, which is probably roughly like 24 to 36 people. And then they come back, do another solo piece, do more improv, do some scenic work. And then from there, we narrowed it down to 10. And then once we lock in the 10, it's like, you know, you send the, congratulation emails, lock everybody in, and then process starts. So it's a very and I will say a lot of people auditioned for both the first year and this year, and I think the numbers were higher this year because of the success of last year. And so, yeah, and you can see based off the talent, like these 10 were just true standouts since the beginning. So.
Yeah, I saw last year's show too, by the way, too. It's just something I hope to do every year because it's just so great. And Grace, by the way, talk to me just, I'll visit another scene. There's a couple I was going to pick one, but what do you think of vaping?
I do not vape, not at
You
all.
could fool me.
But I thank you. But I have friends who are addicted. So when Devin brought that sketch to us, I immediately got the joke and the point of it. And Devin actually brought in all these props of these vapes that are dead or no longer working. And during our preview show, I was like, well, they're dead or no longer working. So I stepped out on stage and I took a huge hit, and there was still nicotine or in the vape, if that's what's in it. I don't have language. So our very
I can't
first
help you.
show, there was like smoke on the stage and I was coughing because I was not expecting anything to be in it. And it had a little bit of a kick left. So that was pretty much the only time I've ever vaped, was on
Live.
accident on stage.
I love it. And talk to me about the process of, so I'm guessing the 10 of you are selected, you get together, and maybe Evan takes a lead in this as director, but how did the process start? You're all sitting around in a room and you have a show to write in just a few months.
Yeah, I think like it started with we were just doing these workshops where we got to learn more about improv, about acting, about sketch writing. And through those workshops, we were able to get to know each other a lot better and like the things that make us laugh. And once you start to learn like what makes other people laugh, you start to get these ideas of things that you can write for them or things that you want to see them do. So really for the first 2 months, we were just doing a lot of workshops and bonding and kind of learning each other's sense of humor. And then that last month was when we actually sat down and we would come in each week with pitches for sketches or fully written sketches and be like, I want Joanna to play this part, and I want Freddie to play this part, I want Devin to play this part. And we'd put it up, and based off of how it went in the room, we would, oh, excuse me, how it went in the room, we would make like edits to just keep punching it up, making it funnier, making it tighter. Or if something didn't work, we were like, all right, we'll just forget that. I have 10 other ideas that I can bring.
Evan, I want to get your reaction to that. So as a director, you're watching this develop. How much input did you have? Did you say you need to do that? We need to move this here. How much are you truly, I'm not going to say directing, but adding from your experience to say this will make it funnier?
Yeah, I think I tried to make it an even balance where I didn't want it to come off ever as I was changing anything that they were bringing in or rewriting anything in my own words. It was always like a very collaborative I think back and forth with each other of we'd go through a scene and then I would take some time and send them some notes of like, hey, what about this chunk? Like, what if we did this? Or I would say like, find three more jokes that you can insert here and let's try them all. Like I'm not and I don't I and I tried my best to always give my input, but let them make the decisions. And then when the decisions would come in, we would come together and then we would look at it and put it up on its feet again. And then I think as it started becoming, as each scene started becoming what they were, then we could start implementing blocking. And then like a preview was really helpful because we're in a room together for a month, laughing at everything because we're getting to know each other. We think it's all very funny, but then it's like, okay, what's going to actually work in front of an audience? And the preview was super helpful because then we got to do it in front of a live, smaller group of people, and from there we got to take the laughter and the help from the audience and shape it into what you saw.
So, by the way, if I were, this is an unfair question, but if I were to say the final show that I saw on Tuesday night, what percentage were the 10 players? What percentage am I seeing Evans work?
I mean, truly, like all the work is the 10 of them. All the scenes are written by the 10 of them. I think that what I would say is like I'm sprinkled on top of it, right? So like they have created this show, but I helped create the running order. I helped make like this scene will go here, and then it'll follow by a couple blackouts, and then we'll do this, and then like I did the transitions. I created an opener. I helped with the choreography, but the work itself is all coming from them, right? And I'm just the one giving helpful advice or helpful hints or movements and stuff to meticulously make it into like a cohesive review. Because my whole goal was like, I wanted people to go into the show going, okay, I'm going to go see a showcase. And I wanted them to walk out saying, oh, I just watched a review. And successfully, I feel like the last two shows, people I've talked to after the shows have only raved about being like, wow, that was like a really polished workshop, not workshop, showcase. That was a really, really wonderful show. Like you made it look like a review. They had two acts. They had,
Oh yeah, literally.
they had transitions and openers and closer. And so like, that was my ultimate goal is to make it not feel like a showcase, but like an actual review that you could go see in the building.
You were like the gold specks on a chocolate Mardi Gras cake.
Yes, exactly.
For our viewers going, what was that? It's a reference you all get. Go see the show if you want to know what I'm talking about. Joanna, there's also a scene, again, I think in references, where everybody's sort of auditioning for Juilliard. And I'm sort of curious, that had to be based on people's just, on some level, people's actual audition experiences. Can you shed some insight on on that fun scene?
Oh yeah, so Devin actually wrote that one too. They're a very accomplished musician as well, and I think that was like the first song in the show that was completely solidified and like written before a lot of other things were even solidified. I personally didn't know what Unifieds was because though I liked musical improv growing up, and I think 15 years older than Devin, I grew up in a time where there wasn't a lot of Asian representation in musical theater other than like Lea Salonga, and my parents were like, no, be a doctor, don't go into theater. And so I didn't know what Unifieds was or was a thing until they brought that piece in. But I feel like there are a lot of people who are under that pressure, especially like it's what seniors in high school trying to figure out the rest of their lives and what they want to do. And the different revelations that people have and the journey they took people on through the voices and the words spoken by the other people on stage were so relatable. Every time we have previewed that or like put that in a show, there's always the murmurs of recognition and everybody was laughing. Who is a theater kid? Who knows what that experience is like? I don't know if Grace went through that or if like Evan went through that. I luckily didn't because I would have never thought or dreamed of auditioning for Juilliard when I was that age. But I think it's great. And I even though I didn't audition in that aspect, I auditioned for this fellowship so many times and other ones like it in Second City where that the anxiety is real. And I really need to get this because if not, then what? Like, what am I going to do? And I have to refigure out the rest of my life. And I think that's something that's relatable to everybody.
You said you auditioned for, if I heard you right, you auditioned for the Victor Wong Fellowship several times. Does that mean, did you go through the process and didn't get it at first?
Yeah, so prior to the Victor Wong Fellowship, there's another fellowship called the Bob Curry Fellowship, which is like a precursor, and that's open to anybody like BIPOC or any kind of like diversity cadre. And all in all, for Victor Wong in this Bob Curry Fellowship, I auditioned 7 times.
Oh, so I guess your message is stick with it, right? If you don't get it the first time, it's
Yeah,
like
and I
trying to
think
get on
honestly,
Shark Tank.
yes, I think it's scarier than a Shark Tank, but more fun. I think though that everything happens for a reason, and this year was the year to do it because if it wasn't for this year, I wouldn't have met Grace and the rest of the cohort, and I would have never personally gotten to work with Evan, even though I've known Evan for quite a while. When he was a host, I was a server. So
Oh,
we go
that's what that
like we
is
go
for.
back,
Yeah.
we sort together.
Do people tip you well, sir? I tip well to the servers. I believe in that. Where
Well, I
people
mean, we tell everybody standard tipping rate is, 90 to
90%.
100%. So people generally tend to listen to us when
Right.
we
Well, I told my server ahead of
deliver.
time. I said, by the way, I'm going to tip you and stuff, and where you spend the dollar is completely up to you. So I just want to be fair
We
about
appreciate
that.
it. Yeah,
Right.
thank you.
And by the way, speaking of Shark Tank, I had a friend, Tommy the Elf. I don't know if you know him, Evan, but he actually got Barbara Corcoran to give him $75,000 to expand his elfing business at Christmas. He auditioned once, so there you go.
Whoa.
Do you know something? He's sort of well known in the city. I thought you might know him.
Dang, I guess I gotta be more on top of my elf culture.
Yeah, I can help you with that.
Okay, great.
He takes elfies, is what it's all about. That's kind of the business.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. Grace, let me talk to you. To me, one of the most difficult parts, you weren't part of this particular scene, but one of the toughest things I would think for a performer to do is to have to, in a true improv way, come out in the audience and work with it. And the folks who did that picked me, and I'm always wrestling with this. Okay, do I become funny and take over the show? Or do I just realize this is not about me, which is hard for me to accept, and just say something simple and whatever. So I went with the second option. Like, it's their show. My point is, how tough is that for you to, you're going to go out there and you're going to ask for somebody for a wish, whatever it may be. And the main stage does this as well. You got to work with that.
Yeah, I think that one of the like core things of improv is like they're like you're making stuff on the spot. You have to be funny, but you also have to like work with the people in the audience because it is about you, but it is just as much about them. They're the one that's like giving you the suggestion. They're the one that's giving you their laughs. So it's really hard to kind of balance that moment where you're giving somebody a bit of your spotlight, and sometimes they really want to take it and they want to enjoy it. And that enthusiasm, you know, is obviously encouraged, and we love when people want to participate. But I think like a really great improviser is also really great at interacting with the audience. And Robert and Brian, who both do an improv bit where they go into the crowd that you are referring to, they are both welcoming, approachable, kind people. They are like the perfect people that you would want to put in the audience because people feel good talking to them. And they're both so quick. I think that's the other thing is like having that wit and being able to take in what somebody's saying to you, even if they're trying to, you know, and some people in the audience, you know, they are trying to like upstage you. Like being
Yeah.
able to take that and turn it into something that will make everybody laugh without like singling that person out is truly a gift. And I think that that is kind of at the core of improv is just learning how to take things that you don't know, like how it's going to go, and adapting on the spot. And being able to, you know, roll with the punches, whether or not it's like at your expense. And I think, you know, it's really helped me in that way. I have a lot of anxiety, and that's why at first I never wanted to do improv, but then I kind of, it's kind of trial by fire in that way, where I feel like ever since I've been doing improv, I've been able to communicate with people better. I've been able to kind of deal with my anxiety in new ways. It might sound terrifying, but because it's terrifying, it's almost the perfect thing.
First of all, I'm a little surprised to hear you say that about your anxiety because I have to tell you are such a presence on stage. I mean, I didn't know who everyone was going to invite to join us. I'm so glad he invited you too, but I really am glad he invited you because you were such a standout for me. I can't even look at a carton of eggs anymore without thinking of you.
You.
And go see the show if you don't know what I'm talking about. And by the way, Evan, you have to admit it is Jeff worthy when you can rhyme Lamborghini with fettuccine.
That was, I heard that backstage and I was clapping.
That was all Robert and Brian. I'm telling you, it was like I saw Brian set him up, and I was so proud in the back. I was already clapping. I was like, fettuccine, here it comes, Lamborghini, got it. It's great to watch and not
So
stressed
there's
when having to clap.
Joanna, there's another scene. I don't know how to do this without giving it away. Whenever I have a surprise, I sort of you can say it if you want to. I don't. I do that with theater casts, and I always tell the story. But I interviewed the cast of Dear Evan Hansen, and I said to them, "Is there anything I shouldn't say?" And somebody said, "Don't tell them Connor dies." And I said, "He dies in the first 5 seconds of the show. Why is this a shock for anybody to find out?" You know. But that being said,
Didn't
Joanna,
know
there is
that.
this. What's that?
I didn't know that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just.
I didn't. I Give me a minute. I need to process.
I think, yeah. Yeah, I once made a reference in a lecture to The Shining and said how it ended. And somebody said, "Oh my God, I was just about to read the book." If you haven't read it in 40 years, it is not my problem.
Yeah.
You know what, right, Evan? It's just, you know. But Joanna, so there is a scene where it's our first time walking on Mars. I think it was Mars. And you know what, right? And it ends up with, I'm not, you decide whether you want to give it away or not, but it ends up with people who've never been here before, except they come across a sign. It's not an American flag, it's something else. As somebody who covers theater, I absolutely lost it. That was so funny to me. Are there times, Joanna, that you do a bit and like somebody who knows theater or whatever does get it, but then the audience is like, oh, they didn't get that?
I would be surprised if nobody understands the reference that you're referring to.
Okay.
When Robert brought that in, everybody died laughing because what you see in that sketch, what the punchline to that joke is even more ubiquitous than the American flag. Everybody, oh, I really don't want to give it away.
Okay,
And
that's
yeah, but it's so good. And I feel like in the beginning, when Evan was putting together the order of where these sketches and blackouts were going to go, that was originally placed in a different spot. But because it hit so hard, we make in, like Evan is great, like with his eye and his comedic timing, found like a better place to put it just so it punches even harder for like shows because it's such a huge laugh and reaction.
It's, and you have to, and you got to play to it and all of that. Evan, just what is your favorite part, Evan, of as you work with these, I don't want to say young people, they don't have to be young, so it could be anything. But what is your favorite part of this process of putting the, is it looking at somebody like Grace, who I just learned has anxiety? You know who else surprised me a little bit? I'll toss out a name, but Esther, who is in the show, who, she strikes me, if I ran into her on the street, she'd be this kind of, you know, quiet, you know, there's sort of a way about it. And then on stage, man, she could be a serial killer. I mean, it is just wild. Is part of the director, are you bringing some of this out of them? It has to be there, I guess, in the first place.
I mean, like, I'll talk about Esther in general. Like, Esther, to me, when I saw Esther in the auditions, I was truly blown away, because she would step into improv scenes and she would literally let everyone around her try to be funny. And then she would just sneak in with like the zinger of a line and it would kill everyone. And then, you know, having her in the program, I was like, I'm so intrigued to work with you. And then she would bring in, she's the one who, you know, created the shoes bit. And she's the one who wrote the cake sketch. And like, you know, and I think for me, like the most fun and the best part about this whole thing was getting to know all 10 of them and working with them and really like discovering like how magical it is to be in a room with 10 other AAPI, comedic actors and performers and people, and seeing how we all have so much similarity, but we're all so different. Like every single person in this cast is so uniquely different. And I think that that's why this specific showcase and group of fellows is so strong, because everyone is so good. Like, and I don't know how to just say that any differently. I feel like I just say it on repeat to them all the time. I feel like they're sick of me saying it. I just see them all the time and I'm like, you guys are so good. I'm so proud of you. But like, it's true. Like, it's been such a joy to see how their minds all work, see how they all adapt to Second City, how they adapt to archive material, how they adapt to each other, how they adapt to an audience, and how they write for each other. Like, that was the most surprising thing, is on main stage or ETC, you're always writing for yourself and you are writing for the cast, but like, you're trying to be like, okay, what's a bit that I could do? What's a bit that like, what's something that I could do? But I watched them all write things for each other. And sometimes I'd have to be like, you guys need to write for yourself too, because they were so excited to write for each other. And yeah. So like, that was a really beautiful thing to see as well.
By the way, if Esther watches this, I meant serial killer as the highest form of praise, by the way.
You would take that as the highest form of praise.
Absolutely. Yeah, totally. So Grace, can you, what scene, what did you write something for you, as Evan is talking about, or did everything you wrote?
I did. Believe it or not, the egg sketch for me.
Who is Benjamin? Who is Benjamin in your life?
Benedict.
Benedict. Oh, eggs Benedict. I guess it's.
Yes, it's Benedict. There's a little bit of an egg pun there.
Right.
I don't know.
Got scrambled.
Any boy who's ever wronged me in a way, I have wanted to kind of have a New York socialite-esque tantrum whenever I see them out and about. And so that sketch is very absurd, but it definitely is. It comes from this rooted place of the times in which I said, like, I have anxiety. So if I see somebody in public who, like, I feel like has wronged me, or, you know, I'm not going to say anything, but I kind of like leaning into that, like, that little, like, bitter, like, extravagant side that's like, I want everyone to know, like, yeah, that you suck.
I love it. Joanna, do you drive a Toyota?
I don't. We were an Oldsmobile family.
Okay.
So.
I was just curious. I was trying to tie into that particular scene.
Yeah, no, Becca, that Freddie wrote that, and Becca is also very comedically talented, and they're great in that.
Okay.
That blackout absolutely kills me. That scene is so, it's so dumb, and I say dumb and silly in the best way.
Like serial killer.
Yeah, exactly. Dumb is the highest form of compliment, I think, from my mouth.
And what's brilliant is the way, as the show ends, there's full circle moments to this thing at the end, which is absolutely just brilliant. We're out of time. And before we get cut off, I just want people to know they can go to secondcity.org. Am I right about that? I'm in to check out.
.com.
Okay. I had. Okay. Secondcity.com, not only for tickets for the shows, but to check out the Victor Wong Fellowship. Go see Victor Wong. If you're still watching this in May, check it out on Tuesday nights. You guys are so incredibly talented. Congratulations on incredible work. Evan, don't forget who we are.
I never will. I never will. I promise.
Can I apply to be your assistant?
Yeah, that'll be great. So okay. Then And both of us will always remember.
I love it. Thank you, everybody. Break legs.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
you.